A company who makes firefighting foam and contaminated groundwater in northeastern Wisconsin will pay millions of dollars in a settlement with the state. It's Friday, June 5th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, President Trump makes his first visit to Wisconsin since being elected president for his second time. And a conversation with the owner of the nation's oldest Chinese restaurant, which just so happens to be located in Wisconsin.
When we first came to Janesville, my mom was sort of a trailblazer in Milwaukee because she was a head chef in many popular Chinese restaurants in Milwaukee.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Elkins, and I'm hosting a Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin-sponsored tour with Holiday Vacations. This fall, 2026, we'll cruise the musical Danube River, starting in Budapest and then sailing aboard an Amadeus ship to Vienna and Salzburg, and ending in Prague. Join us for this incredible journey. Our adventure begins at wpr.org/travel.
The state has announced a $10 million settlement with a Marinette manufacturer of firefighting foam over PFAS contamination. As Danielle Kading reports, the Wisconsin Department of Justice sued Johnson Controls and Tyco in 2022, alleging violations of the state's spills law.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says the settlement is one of the most significant environmental resolutions in state history. The state sued the two companies for failing to notify regulators of PFAS contamination when it was first found in 2013. Tyco didn't alert the state about the release until 4 years later. Call says the money will go to the state's PFAS trust fund, but he'd like funds to go to the Marinette area.
I also hope the funds are allocated quickly because, you know, this community has waited a long time.
A Tyco spokesperson says it's pleased with the agreement and hopeful that money will be returned to the local community. Some Marinette residents called the deal underwhelming because it doesn't require health studies or cleanup in an expanded area around Tyco's facility. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
President Donald Trump is set to visit Wisconsin today. The president will be visiting Custer Farm in Chippewa Falls. According to the president's public schedule, Trump is expected to participate in a pre-taped interview at the farm just before 2 this afternoon. His schedule says he will then, quote, participate in a roundtable on American agriculture starting at 3 o'clock. The visit and focus on farmers comes as many farmers have been hit hard by a combination of factors recently. That includes shrinking overseas market for corn and soybeans and increasing costs for things like fuel and fertilizer. It's not clear yet if any other Republicans from Wisconsin will be joining Trump, like Congressman Derek Van Orden, who represents the 3rd Congressional District where Custer Farm is located. The city and county of Milwaukee are seeking outside legal counsel to help with any federal actions related to the 2020 election. Evan Casey has more.
The move comes as Milwaukee County's clerk said a member of the FBI visited the home of his elections director. A spokesperson for the Milwaukee Police Department said they're aware the FBI may be interviewing members about the 2020 election. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said the county is partnering with Democracy Defenders Action
to help protect any of our workers or employees that may be targeted, but also to help make the argument, quite frankly, that the Trump administration has no reason to try to seize our 2020 election ballots.
That group's website says they bring together experts to, quote, safeguard American democracy. The Milwaukee Common Council also passed a resolution that authorizes the city attorney to get outside counsel for, quote, election-related needs. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin justices are taking input on whether to change the rules that govern when judges should step aside from cases. The Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed yesterday to create a committee that will study judicial recusal. Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley opposed the plan.
The court, as currently constituted, will never adopt anything that will interfere with the successful formula for electoral success in recent elections, which is to telegraph how you will rule on cases.
The court has a 4-3 liberal majority right now. Recently elected liberal justices campaigned while highlighting their support for abortion rights and other topics. That prompted criticism from Bradley and other conservatives who accused them of interfering with the court's impartiality. Among other issues, the committee is likely to study whether judges should recuse themselves because of campaign contributions. That comes after recent races for the court attracted record-high spending. A settlement has been reached following the death of a man at Wisconsin's Waupun Prison. Attorneys for the family of Donald Meyer announced the agreement on Thursday. Attorney Jeff Olson says the Wisconsin Department of Corrections will pay nearly $4 million. In exchange, Meyer's mother will dismiss the federal lawsuit that she filed over her son's 2024 death at the maximum security prison. That suit accused corrections workers of ignoring Meyer's signs of medical distress and of failing to bring him medication before he died. He died of dehydration and malnutrition at the age of 62. In 2024, Dodge County prosecutors filed criminal charges against 9 former Waupun staffers over the deaths of Meyer and another inmate. Several of those defendants have taken plea deals, while others have seen their charges dismissed. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents approved a plan yesterday to increase tuition across the state's public university system for the 4th time in as many years. As Joe Schultz reports, officials say the increase is lower than the cost of inflation.
In a 15-1 vote, the board agreed to raise in-state undergraduate tuition by 2% for the upcoming school year. They also increased student fees by an average of 3.5%. Some board members said the move was necessary for universities to respond to rising costs after a decade-long tuition freeze made schools do more with less. Regent Karen Walsh says the university system is still dealing with the consequences of that freeze.
We cannot pretend that inflation has not affected us. It's not just this year. It's not just the tariffs. It's 10 years.
But Republicans have been critical of the increase. Some have even called for another tuition freeze. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, the oldest continuously operating Chinese restaurant in America is in Janesville. We'll hear about its history. Stay with us.
When you're online, visit WPR.org. You'll find news headlines from WPR and NPR and feature stories about arts, culture, music, and politics. Explore our live audio streams, links to program information, or check out upcoming events in your area. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. The Cozy Inn Chinese restaurant first opened on Janesville's West Milwaukee Street in 1922. The restaurant has long been regarded as likely the second oldest Chinese restaurant in the country, only behind the Pekin Noodle Parlor in Montana. But in April, the Noodle Parlor closed its doors, making the Janesville establishment the new title holder. Cozy Inn owner Tom Fong sat down with Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret to reflect on what makes the restaurant special.
All right, you are part of restaurant history here. The Cozy Inn opened its doors in 1922. How does it feel now to have the title of the oldest continually operating Chinese restaurant in the country?
It's a little surreal. I never really thought about the longevity of the restaurant.
And your time at the Cozy Inn first started as a kid working alongside your parents. What are some of your earliest memories of the restaurant?
We went through a lot of struggles, a lot of obstacles and challenges because my mom didn't speak English very well with my stepdad. So it was just basically my brother and I and the business at the time when my mother bought the business. It wasn't very busy at all. I think the previous owners, they just sort of maybe mentally got just tired of the business, and they just sort of let it slide. And we had to try to resurrect the business again. And as a 14 and a 16-year-old, it was a challenge.
What do you think were some of the changes you made at that time, you and your brother and your mom made at that time, that helped revive it and helped it survive? Because restaurants don't always survive.
Correct. You're really right on the money about that. When we first came to Janesville, my mom was sort of a trailblazer in Milwaukee because she was a head chef in many Chinese restaurants, popular Chinese restaurants in Milwaukee. And that was sort of unheard of as a woman becoming a head chef. And so when she came to Janesville, we brought these different Cantonese dishes.
Well, I want to get hungry now. Can you name some of those Cantonese dishes she brought over?
Sort of things like the Cantonese chow mein. In fact, I don't think there's not too many that have them here locally. I think we're the only one that has that dish. And things like sweet and sour pork, the way we prepare our pork is totally different from the other restaurants. We do it the old style, the Hong Kong style.
What's the Hong Kong style?
It's sort of like a dry flour type deep fried, and where the other ones use like a wet flour, like a wet breading, sort of like you find like on fish fries, that kind of a batter. Ours is sort of a drier type, totally done differently.
And Tom, you know, public radio, we've been around over 100 years here, and we hear people, you know, started listening with their parents or their grandparents. Is it like that at the Cozy Inn where you've got, you know, people maybe they started eating there at age 2 and now they're bringing their kids or their grandkids in?
Yes, I've seen like 5 generations. And after a while, these, you know, I just speak to a lot of them, and being in the restaurant, it becomes nostalgic to them. They make memories at in those booths. They sit and they talk and they laugh.
And now, what are your hopes for the future of Cozy Inn?
We feel loyal to this community, so we don't really want to shut down. And by the time I've been there like 52 years personally, you know, on and off, but mainly I've been there since 1974. And my wife's been there 38, but we're hopefully we can find like a relative or something and take over once we get too old.
Well, good luck with those future plans, Tom, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That was Tom Fong speaking with Wisconsin Today host Rob Ferret. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. And of course, we'll end the show with a quick check of your forecast. Mostly cloudy today, highs in the 70s and 80s. We'll see some rain off and on. Southern Wisconsin could see some strong storms later on today. Lows down into the 50s and 60s overnight as those showers and storms start to taper off. Pretty warm this weekend, with highs in the 80s on both Saturday and Sunday. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.